Well, take your Bibles, turn to Joshua 1. God is in the miracle business, and it's still His business. We just need to tap on. We need to step up, and it's our time and our turn. You know, life is short. Think about it. If you live 100 years, that's short. So what are we going to do? That's always a question. You know, if you get into the Word of God, believe God, start moving with Him when you're a teen, that's great. You got a lot of years ahead of you. But see, even one day or 1 week with God, you can do stuff to remember and for the generations to remember. That's how big and how powerful it is when we decide to move with God. But I want to look at some non-healing miracles. Joshua 1, Moses had just died. Moses had led them out of Egypt. He had been the leader. He had led them all the time there in the wilderness, and he had just died. And now Joshua had to step up to the plate. And you know something? Every generation before you dies off. And guess who has to step up? That's right. It's me, O Lord. And when you're gone, the ones behind you. And so on. And that's the way it works. And now it was Joshua's time. It says in verse 1, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now." And that's what I love about God. He lives in the now. If you don't learn to live, you know, so many people waste their life living in the past or in the future. And the now just goes right on by. And pretty soon they got nothing. We live in the nows. And God's a now God. And He says, Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even unto the children of Israel. God said, okay, it's time to get back to business. There's things to be done. And in every generation, including ours, there's things to be done. Things to be done. There's still inheritance that need to be claimed. They're there. People don't know it, maybe. A lot of them don't know it. Maybe you don't know it, all your inheritance. You need to go get it. That's what this great book's about, is going and getting what God gave them. And that's something, that's a challenge we have every time. Every generation has this challenge because we've got an adversary. God has an adversary, the devil, and he's our adversary. And he wants to make sure you don't get yours. He wants to squat on yours. And he wants to take away what's yours. And sometimes maybe we need a miracle, we go get it. Exodus 12:37 said there were 600,000 men plus women and children when they left Egypt. So we're talking a lot of folks here. 50% of the men were married, and they average about 4 children. That's well over 2 million folks. A lot of folks camping there on the east bank of the Jordan. But God speaks to Joshua, and He gives him revelation. He could speak to him because Joshua has the Holy Spirit upon him. In Numbers 27, it says in verse 18, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit." He had the Spirit there. And it says, "Lay thine hand upon him." Moses didn't lay his hand on him here to put the Spirit. He already had the Spirit in him. Then look at the next verses, 19, "And set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, gave him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." This was his ordination. This was Joshua's ordination. He had the Spirit of God, and that's the way it is. You might have the Spirit of God for a long time before this time arrives. But this was Joshua. He was ordained. That's why God called in him. You've been commissioned, Joshua. It's time to get up. It's time for you to move. Time to take over. You're in the spotlight. And you got to do the job. And it also said he had honor and that the people would obey him. Joshua received the revelation from God, and now he must decide to act on what God has told him. And like I said, that's the way it is with all of us every time, whether it be the revelation of the written word or God tells you something. When God first called me to teach, I didn't feel qualified. And I argued for a while, a few days anyway, from Wednesday to Sunday, whatever that was, because I didn't feel qualified. But I couldn't argue as far as the truth of it. It was real. God had called me. There was no doubt about it. Called me in the middle of the night. I don't care where he called you, but he called me. He said, it's time for you to teach my word. And I said, I can't do that. He never said another word. That was it, as far as he was concerned. But you know something? Then it was up to me. I had to make the decision. It's like Wayne and all of us. You have to make your decision. All of us. Whether you've been called to teach or preach or be a minister or not, you've been called by God to serve in the body of Christ. And there's things to do. And you have to make up your mind. And that's what Joshua, okay, he got the word. Now what am I going to do? Oh my gosh. Moses, the great Moses, is dead and now he is it. That's a frightening thing. He can't go to Moses and ask him some questions. No, he's going to have to learn to go to God, where he should be going anyway. It's nice. Wayne and I, we like our fellowship. We like our relationship. We can talk. That door's open almost all the time, so we can talk back and forth between our offices. But he had to make up his mind. Same principle. Joshua's immediate obstacle was this river. 2.5 million people or more in this river, flood stage, and we're supposed to go over on the other side. Verse 3, what else God says? Every place that thy sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. He reminds them again of the inheritance, the promise. It's his. Why? Did he earn it? No. God gave it to him. Did we earn our inheritance? No. Jesus Christ paid for it, didn't he? So he told him, it's the same thing he told Moses back in Deuteronomy 11:24. Then he sets the boundaries from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites and under the sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. God gives Joshua assurance that he will be able to do the job too. In the next verse, look what he says. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He reminds him, hey, what about us? Is God not with us? Yes. Will he fail or forsake you? No. Sometimes we forsake him, though, don't we? We want to trust in our own wisdom or man's wisdom or a feeling. I got a feeling. Instead of trusting in the one true God. No sickness, no disease, no devil spirit, no circumstance should be able to stand before you. Because we have God within us and we have the authority of the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We should take charge. It's our inheritance, our body. He's got no right to be making us sick. Right? You got to get adamant in this stuff and really let him know you ain't no pushover. You're not a marshmallow. You're strong in the power and the might of God Almighty. Anyway, Joshua, verse 6, 1-6. Be strong and of a good courage. Why? For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And you know it's going to take courage for that. Because if you have any children and you try to divide something up, you got trouble. Someone's going to be unhappy. They'll be scoping for kids. They got an eighth sense or something. Then they can look at something and tell exactly if it's like just a millimeter too small. Right? Well, I only had two sons, so it was easy. I got a candy bar, let one cut, the other one made first choice. That settled that. That was a good way to do it. But so can you imagine all these people? You got to divide up. No wonder he said, be strong and be of good courage. Because you're going to have to divide them up. Then he goes on to say, only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And that's something old Joshua did too. Yeah, this is what it says in Joshua 8:35. There's not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were, you know, among them. So, it says he did that, didn't he? He said, you got to be strong and very courageous, that thou must observe to do all the law which Moses commanded you to do. Turn not from it. Because it's easy to turn. There's distractions in this life, even when you're on a mission for God. Remember the Blues Brothers? They got distracted a little bit, didn't they? They were all over the place. So if you ever want to work miracles with God, you can't be a fair-weather believer and just do things when you feel like it or when it's popular or easy. You got to go for it. Make up your mind and do it. To be prosperous here means to have success or to act wisely. You're not going to have success and act wisely if you do not, if you're just running all over from the Word of God. You're not staying put on it, to observe, to do. Remember, that's how you prosper, as thy soul prospered. Then it goes on to say, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let it not depart means to be constantly in your mouth. You're going to speak something worthwhile. Speak the Word of God. Meditate therein. To keep God's Word alive in yourself. How do you meditate? You talk it over. You just read the Word and you think about it. You think about it. That's what he was to do. How can we expect to prosper and have good success if we're violating God's Word every other, I'd like to say day, but I could say minute. We prosper as our soul prospers. Verse 9, he goes on to say, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Don't faint in your mind, Joshua. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Look how, that's the third time he told him, be strong and of good courage. So what about today? Should we be strong and of good courage? Daggone right. Things haven't changed. The devil's still around. So you got to be strong. And you're strong by knowing who you are. If you know who you are, if somebody come over and try to take your car, you might have a fight, right? Why? Because you know it's yours. But yet, people, even Christians, they'll let the devil come in and just push them out of the way, grab their car, and leave them waving goodbye. You got to be strong and have courage. All this is important background for the miracles of Joshua. God told Joshua over and over again that he was with him. That's the most important probably thing you got to remember, that God is with you. If you say it enough times, you might believe it, then you might be strong in that knowledge and you might have courage. And he told him, no man can stand against thee, that he will not fail him nor forsake him. Then God tells him how to be strong, observe all his word and do it. Meditate. Keep the word alive in your minds. If you want to do miracles, you don't float along through the tulips for a couple of years and say, well, I'm going to do a miracle today. Keep the Word alive. And you do that by keeping your fellowship alive with God. When it's time to do the will of God, and if it's a miracle or a healing, whatever it needs to be, then, as we said, and Wayne said it, and I'll say it again, it becomes duck soup. It's not hard. There's nothing too hard for God, right? So if I'm working and he's working with me, then it's going to be hard for me. So now Joshua's ready to move on this revelation that God told him to bring it to pass. In verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare victuals, get some food, get your Big Macs together in a bag, for within 3 days we shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. That's why they were crossing the river, to get what was theirs. There can be rivers, mountains, something between you and what's yours. Or you cross it, you climb over it. You can cast mountains out into the sea if you have to. But you won't do it if you don't have the attitude of the Word of God. If you don't have the attitude of the revelation, what He said is true about me, not for other people. A lot of times it says, neat, it's nice for other people, but I don't know if I can arrive. Well, then you'll not get there. And that's not the will of God. God wants us all there. Just like He wants all men to be saved, He wants us all to enjoy His inheritance. He wants every one of His kids to enjoy everything that He's given them. And He's given us health, He's given us joy, He's given us peace, He's given us all the wonderful fruits of the Spirit to enjoy. And we prosper as our soul prospers in His Word. So He told them to get up and go. So Joshua readies the leadership in Israel for crossing the River Jordan and for entering the Promised Land. In verse 1 of chapter 3, turn to chapter 3, Joshua 3. You know, somebody's got to lead. A lot of times we're always looking for somebody to follow, but sometimes we need to learn to lead. Mom and dads need to learn to lead their house, not let the kids lead it or let the neighbors lead it or the world and its whatever it comes up with lead it. That's the first place you take charge, right in your own house, where you live. Anyway, here we go, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Now, Shittim was about 10 miles from the Jordan on the east side. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Well, how many, we've already read then. Makes a point of it. I always put it in capital letters, then. There's always a now and there's always a then when it comes to God doing His stuff. There's a time and a place. Yet there shall be a space between you and the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way hereto. So He gave them more instructions. Follow the ark, but stay back. Stay away from it. 2,000 cubits is, well, cubit I think is 18 inches, so it would be around 3,000 feet. They were to stay away from the ark, but to follow it. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify means to consecrate, to devote, to dedicate yourself. I tell you, we will devote our lives to do the will of God, to have that fellowship with Him, to enjoy His inheritance and His family. If we will devote and dedicate ourselves to that, God will do wonders in your life too. You will see signs, miracles, and wonders. Miracles happen because someone acts on what God tells them, and that's what Joshua is doing here. He's doing exactly what God told him to do. And Israel followed. They followed him because he was honored. Remember, Joshua was honored. He was commissioned. They knew who he was, and they were to obey him. Moses was gone. Now it's Joshua. Verse 6, and Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. That's tremendous. God said, Joshua, today is the day for you. I'm going to magnify you. People are going to know. Moses ain't here, but they're going to know that you're here. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come thither, or hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. Look how he's leading. That's what a leader does. Come hear what God has to say. That's what you might be the leader in your neighborhood, or the leader in your family, or somebody you just meet. They're talking worldly bull crap. Say, hey, come hear what the word of the Lord says. And then you know something? They get the privilege to hear it. Whether they act on it or believe it, that's their problem. But they might just. And you know something else? Now you got somebody going to follow you because they're going to want to know more what the word of the Lord says. That's what he was. A leader tells the word of the Lord. That's what Wayne and I are doing this week. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and he will without fail without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and all the rest of the ites there. So, what does he do? He's even past the river. We're talking about on the other side. He said, God's not going to fail. We're going to get what's ours on the other side too. And all those people are going to be gone. We're going to take them out. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, one of every tribe. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, hey, that's our Lord, he's Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all its banks, as it was at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down towards the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jericho. NLV translation reads of verse 16, then the waters which came down from above stood and rose up in a heap afar off at Adam, the city which is beside Zaratan, and those flowing down from the Sea of Araba, the Dead Sea, was wholly cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. Here's the Sea of Galilee up here, then you come down a little ways here, down the Jordan, and here's Adam, little city of Adam next to Zaratan off to the right, and it's around 25 to 27 miles from there to the Dead Sea. So the water stopped way up there, all the way up there, and it stopped at the Dead Sea. So they had all that land. Probably didn't take it that long to get across, did it? Even a couple million. They had a 25 to 27 mile stretch of dry land to walk across. They had plenty of room for the ark that they didn't have to come closer than 3,000 feet. Verse 17 says, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, or all of Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean or completely over Jordan. No water touched the ark or the priest or the people that passed over. The water flowed from Adam to the Dead Sea. It would have overcome them had it stopped, right? I think it's interesting that the city was named Adam, because where did our flow happen? The flow of sin, right? From Adam through the generations. Flowed right on down to death, the Dead Sea. Interesting thing to think about, isn't it? Well, Jesus Christ didn't stand in the middle of the Jordan, but he stood in the middle of the flow. He hung on a cross, and he stopped that flow once and for all. Isn't that something? It's pretty neat when you see some of these things. It stopped when he said in John 19:30, it is finished. It is finished. See, that flow would have stopped man from crossing over to reconciliation with God, but the Lord Jesus Christ made a difference, didn't he? When that happened, the curse of the law of sin and death was stopped. It was broken for all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Then Joshua had 12 men, one of each tribe. Remember he told them to choose one of each? A while back, yeah, they picked up a stone in the midst of Jordan from where the priest stood with the ark, and they were to bring it with them. It says in verse 4:4, Joshua 4:4. Then Joshua called the 12 whom he had prepared. Isn't that interesting? 12, Jesus had 12. It's a good number, isn't it? He called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel. So all 12 of them picked up a stone on their shoulder from out of the middle of the old Jordan as they were passing over, and they carried it out. And it said that, goes on to say, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers, in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial, a reminder unto the children of Israel. How long? Forever. They were into that. Why? Because people forget. They wanted to make sure that they had it, and they brought it wherever they went and set up camp. These stones went with them. And it says, and the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of tribes of Israel, and carried them over with them into a place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, and his own 12 stones, and in the place where the feet of the priest, which bear the Ark of the Covenant, stood, and they are there until this day. When something happened, they wanted to always remember it. It always amazed me when I read the Word of God and see how all these mighty things that God did and how soon they would forget. And you say, well, man, I wouldn't. How can they possibly forget that? Well, it still goes on today. I've seen God do some wonderful things for people in their lives, and then after a while they don't even remember God anymore. And that blows my mind. First time that happened, I know this guy got tremendous deliverance. And he wasn't even doing anything. I didn't care about God, nothing else. And you think, my, oh my. But you know something? He had his opportunity, and maybe he will down the road. Who knows? I don't know the big picture. God does. But people forget. And God is always telling us to remember. Remember, that's why he had a book written, so we wouldn't forget. And you know, it's a good to write down things. Maybe you all need to have a journal. That'd be great. What did God do for you today? Maybe you might find out he's doing a lot of things. You take a look and writing it down. Hey, I think I hit something. Yeah, keep your journal for you and God. You're not sharing it with anybody. It's for you, to help you remember. To help you remember. Help you remember the victory when you're challenged at times. Help you to remember in the good times when you don't think you need them, but you better go back and take a look. Verse 10, Joshua 4:10, for the priests which bare the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished. That was, he is able to finish. That was one of the lines in the song. That the Lord commanded, everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hastened and passed over. That's why they needed a big spot. Get through there. And it came to pass when all the people were clean or completely passed over that the ark of the Lord passed over and the priest in the presence of the people. God fulfilled his word. He did. In Psalms 114, it gives a tribute to God's mighty power, how he stopped the waters of the Red Sea and the Jordan while Israel safely crossed. Psalms 114, verse 1, it says, when Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary, and Israel his dominion. It says that in Exodus 29:45, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. He was their dominion. God resided there. And then it goes on to say in verse 3, the sea saw it. What did they see? They saw the dwelling of God in these people. They knew God was with them. They saw it and fled. And the Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams and little hills like lambs. Verse 5. And as we, what aileth thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? In Psalm 77:16 it says, the waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid, and the depths also were troubled, they also trembled. And then verse 6 says, ye mountains skip like rams, ye little hills like lambs. Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. When God moves, something happens. When people will move, something will happen for you. You have challenges. Well, make it tremble. Let it shake. Let the waters depart. Move the mountains. Get God involved. God promises and provides whatever is needed. Israel needed a miracle here. They needed to cross that water. Joshua needed that too. hey, didn't God part the seas for Moses? So Joshua needed a trip too, didn't he? What do you suppose that did for him? I tell you, it just builds. Every time then you get strong. And he said, be strong. Don't you think he was stronger after that day? You want to get stronger, then start doing the Word of God and start seeing things happen in your life. It'll make you stronger. You'll know that God will not fail. He will provide. God gave revelation of how and when to Joshua. He arose and he did it. He did what God told him to do. If we get in the habit of doing what God says we're to do, then we see the results. We're so many like little bugs on the water. We go about so far and then we go a different direction. And then we go, learn to stay put on the Word. Just try it for a day once. See what happens. Miracles happen when we are actively seeking to observe and do the Word and will of God. That's when these things happen. You know, when Joshua was 16 or 17, he said, I think I'll park the Jordan here sometime. He didn't have any of that in his mind. A lot of things you don't have. It comes when it comes and when it's needed. But if you're actively involved, actively observing to do His will and His Word, then things will happen. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1 again. We're going to go to the next miracle of Joshua. How many of you have read the book of Joshua recently or whatever? Yeah, you probably read it a few times. I'll tell you, I had just a lot of fun reading through it again. If you want to learn about humanoid creatures and... But at the same time, the power of God and what can happen when people will act and move, it is something else. Because when you think about it, I mean, that land was theirs. But somehow there were people living there, weren't there? Somehow, just because they were there 400 years, they thought it was theirs. We've only been in this land 228 years as a nation, right? You know, they have armies, they got soldiers, they got people, and they don't like it when you come and want to take your land. But it wasn't theirs. And that's the thing you got to realize. Everything was God, and He gives it to whom He gives it. And He gave you health. He gave you healing by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave you prosperity, that you prosper, that you have what you need, so that you can give to others that need, right? Work. There's work to be done. Well, you're going to let somebody squat on your land? I'm not. No squatters. We're getting rid of the squatters. We've been having fun getting rid of some squatters, haven't we? Okay, I want to go back to Joshua chapter 1 again. Because this verse, you got to drive it even in. This was to Joshua, but even more so for now. If God says this to Joshua, how much more now? How much more for you and I? It says, there shall not, verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. As God was with Moses, as God was with Joshua, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter, the 12, the apostle, Paul. He will be with you. God makes this promise to Joshua. He had just given him the responsibility to lead Israel across the Jordan, which we saw he did. And now it was time to claim. Now it's time to claim what's theirs. And that's always going to be the battle. You always got to claim what's yours, because you got an enemy who's going to try to take away everything that God gave you. And where he'll take it away, he'll right up in here, he'll take it away. He can take it away up here, he can take it away up here, and pretty soon he has got it. And you know something? We're going to stop that flow. Now it's time for them to claim their inheritance. God assured him. How many times did Joshua think about those words? God will not fail. He just continues to encourage. He encourages us by way of the Holy Spirit, right? We have manifestation. Do you listen to what He has to say? Do you really believe what He has to say? Well, you better, because He's talking to you. He's encouraging you. That's why we have manifestations in fellowships and meetings. And you don't have to be in a building like this, you can have them at home. That's where you ought to have them, around the table with Junior, little Sammy, Sally, Big Luke, whatever. Get them involved. They should live there, and then when you come here, you're hotter than a firecracker. Ask somebody to stand up. I have a hard time picking, trying to see over everybody. The first miracle of Joshua was crossing the Jordan at flood stage. God gave him instructions, didn't he? He told him what to do. He followed. He was obedient to the word of God. The result was they made it across. And now Joshua is ready to lead Israel to its claim, to claim the land which God had promised. But they must take possession. Take possession. Take possession of your body, of your family. You take possession. You rule with God. God tells you, and you keep following. It's a winning combination. So the same is true for us today. We must claim our salvation, our wholeness. We must manifest what God has given us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must claim our deliverance and our independence from the God of this world and His kingdom. We don't belong to that kingdom anymore. We might live in this world, but we don't belong to it. And so we claim our independence. This world is full of sickness and disease. I don't want to be a part of that. Do you? And I claim healing wholeness. I claim what God has given me. Jesus Christ, go see the Passion again, how He got beat and whipped. A lot of people went crazy over it. Well, we knew that from the Word. A lot of Christians didn't realize it, I guess. They were so used to the little old movies with Jeffrey Hunter and hanging up there with a little thing on, a little trickle of blood down his side. He was pulverized for you and me. So you're going to just let that slide? You're going to go get it. Face up. We were trying to take it away. I don't care what it is, what kind of sickness and disease it is. Jesus Christ's name is above every name. Includes cancer, TB, multiple sclerosis. Doesn't matter what the name. Just the name. It's just a name. A lot of these names are just names to frighten you. That's why we give names, so we can scare the bejesus out of you. Well, the heck with that. See, Israel had to take a stand against people there to get their... They had an enemy too. It was people. Theirs was a physical enemy. Ours is a spiritual enemy. Sometimes people are involved, but it's all spirit behind it. They had to stand against people, armies, kingdoms, and they thought that they had a right to their inheritance. But God didn't give it to them. Remember, God is with you. Just as He was with Joshua and Moses. He is with you. He is in you. It's God in Christ in you. Never forget that. In Joshua chapter 2, here Joshua sent two spies to scout out the land. You know, they hadn't even crossed the river, and he's already sending guys over there to go check them out. And the spies, they stayed at Rahab's inn. Of course, the king of Jericho found out they were there, and he sent for Rahab to find out where these guys were, but she hides them. You know, Rahab here is referred to as a harlot, but she was an innkeeper. Innkeepers, men and women, were sometimes referred to harlots because they talked to everybody. Anyway, verse 1, Joshua 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. In verse 9, look what this says, 2:9. And she said unto the men, this is what she says to the spies, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Isn't that something? It says in Exodus, prophecies in Exodus 15, 14a, it says, "The people shall hear and be afraid." In 15b, it says, "The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them." And 16a says, "Fear and dread shall fall upon them." They knew it was coming, and it came. And you know something? Your enemy is just as afraid as these people were. Our enemy today, when you face up, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ, they tremble at that name. Remember, God told Joshua, "There shall no man stand before him." He will always be with him. Terror of Israel had already reached the ears of the king of Jericho. In Joshua chapter 5, the Amorites and the kings of the Canaanites had heard about the miracle that God of Israel had done for Israel. When he opened up the Jordan and they walked across on dry land, and it says their hearts melted. In verse 1 of chapter 5, we have another reference to this truth, that they were scared. Verse 1, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, a lot of times when you see all these kings, they refer to the city's mayor would be a king. That's why they had many kings. They had these fortified cities. They were called kings. All the kings of the Amorites which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until they had passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was the spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. They lost their courage to fight. So this was the enemy that they were facing, one that was scared. They had no courage. Let's go back to chapter 2, Joshua 2. Pick it up in verse 3. You know, we got these spies over there. And it says, and the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they are come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, there came men with me, but I know not whence they were. She was a smart lady. She hid them. So Rahab hid the spies in the stalks of the flax, which were used to cover the roof. And when the coast was clear, she lowered them down the wall and told them, you know, a safe way to get on back to their folks. And when the king's men came around, they sent them the other way. I think they went that way. And in Joshua 2:11, look what it says. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. And people, that is our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Shout, you Methodists, if we got any of you. Or Baptists or something. There we go. Well, that's a weak one. You must not want... All right, there we go. Then Rahab asked them to save her family. I mean, you know, she did this for them. Save her family. She knew that city was gone. So she's looking out for her and her folks. And she made them promise. And it says in verse 14, and the men answered her. And she said, hey, you know, take care of us. When you come on in, remember us. Remember, I'm the gal that hid you. And it says in verse 14, and the men answered her, our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we deal kindly and truly with thee. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brother and all thy father's household into the home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house in the street, his blood shall be on his head. And we shall be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, and his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be on him. He said, okay, you pack it in and stay there, stay put, because we coming in, we're cleaning house. So when the spies returned to Joshua, they said, truly the Lord hath delivered the land into our hands for forever. The inhabitants do faint. You know, they fear, they have no strength because of us. So they came back with a good report, didn't they? So when Joshua said, don't worry about it, we get across there, it is ours, we're going to take it. In verse 13, let's go to chapter 5. So they're set. He sent the guys over, they checked it all out, they know everybody's scared, they know that they don't have any will to fight, no courage to fight. And it's a good report. And also, let's not forget Rahab. To take care of that gal and her folks. And now we get to this. This is tremendous. In chapter 5, verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man opposite of him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and he said unto him, art thou for us or against us? Are you for our adversaries or are you for us? And look what he says. And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." Who is the captain of the host? It's the army of God. Michael. Angel Michael standing there. Hey, when you see an angel, something big happening. Pay attention. Write it down. Gather your stones and get out the journal, because things are going to happen here. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" That's right. The Lord's host is his army, and Michael was his prince or his captain. He's the one that does the battle. He's the one that kicked out old Lucifer and his tribe long, long ago. And it says Joshua worshiped. Didn't say he worshiped the angel, just said he worshiped. He's probably saying, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." He sent as an angel here. And when Joshua asked him if he was for Israel or the enemy, Michael said, "Neither. But as captain of the host." That's right. No. He is God's captain, right? And he is for who? God. That's right. And if you're in his favor, then he's for you. If you're not, too bad. Too bad. That's right. He was God's, and he was there for whatever God wanted. His obedience was not unto men, but unto God. And I tell you something, that's something for all of us to remember. Who comes first? Who do we obey first? God or man? That's right. The angel did it. It's pretty good, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. Same as we're supposed to do. We obey God rather than man. We don't seek the wisdom of man. We seek the wisdom of God. And his power. Man's power is weak anyway, no matter how big it looks. Verse 15, "And the captain of the Lord host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thy stand is holy. And Joshua did so." He was obedient to the words of God's captain. Then Joshua was given instructions, and Joshua was to be obedient to the word of God. Israel was poised to take the city of Jericho. The gates were shut, and nothing was going in. And nothing was coming out. And in Joshua 6, 2 through 10, he receives his instruction on how this is going to happen. So he got his attention and he said, "Okay, this is what it's going to be." Verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thy hand Jericho." But this word "see" is interesting, because it's that "see" where he gets a picture in the mind. He sees it in his mind. He already sees the victory. And see, we should see the victory in our minds when we have a circumstance before us. What does the Word of God say? You are more than a conqueror, right? You can do all things through Christ. So what's your picture look like? Victory, right? Absolute. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." You're taking them all. "And ye shall compass," or march around the city, "and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do," how many days? 6 days. 6 days. Here's the city, the wall, going around it. One time. Goes on to say, "And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times," not once, but 7 times, "and the priests shall blow with trumpets." These ram horns are called jobals. They were the jubilee trumpets. They were the large ram horns with a small hole in the end to blow into. And they produced a sound that was loud and constant. I just saw a movie, The Viking, late at night. Old Tony Curtis and Kurt Douglas got his eye taken out. The hawk took it out. But they had those horns, and they were going, you could hear these long sound. That's the kind of horns they had. 7 of them, 7 priests and 7 horns. They were used to call Israel to gather to worship. Well, here they were going to use them in a little different way. Verse 5, "And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend or go up, every man straight before him." Wherever you're at, straight ahead, folks. we're going to clean house, because they got the surrounding. Every space is going to get covered. We're going through. Then Joshua calls the priests and the people together to give them instructions that he received from the angel Michael. And it says in verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that seven priests bearing the seven ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew the trumpets, and the re-reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. This re-reward is the army that follows. It's a rear guard. According to Numbers 10:25, might be the tribe of Dan, because they were the re-reward for the camp. So if that's them, that is them. Now he gives him further instructions. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. And then ye shall shout. 6 days of silence. When we did family camps, we did a night of silence, and that was tough even. Right? To be quiet for one night. And you didn't break the silence of breakfast time after you'd ate breakfast. You had to pray in silence and read the word in silence, and then somebody would break it. Could you imagine 6 days? A Jew for 6 days be silent? Nothing against Jews, but yeah. Oh, they could talk, yeah. That's the way I do it. Then it goes on to say, so the ark of the Lord compassed the city going about at once, and then came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. There's a good thing. Early in the morning. Early in the morning, the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priest blew the ram's horn. Trumpets. That's right. Where's that picture? I didn't have room for the soldiers. Here's one straggler here on the end here. He's supposed to be up here. But see, they had the army up front, armed men up here. Then you had these seven priests. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's seven of them in there. Blowing their horns. And then you have the ark. The priest carrying that, and then you have the rear guard coming in the background. There's the city. That was a big wall up there. I think they said it was wide enough for two chariots wide to go around. So it was big. And you see a little window. See, another thing, the inns were usually close to the gate. See, so there you got your window. That was a long drop for those guys. Maybe they had a window down here. I could have put one. So they didn't have quite so far to go. But there you have it. That's what they did. Got up early in the morning, they walked, they marched around, they blew the horns, and everybody else kept their mouth shut. Be still and know that I am God. That verse comes to my mind. We need to remember that one. Put that one in your journal. So there you have it. Joshua was instructed by the angel of God that sent him. Then Joshua instructed the priests and the people. And there you had the armed men, then the seven priests with the horns, then the ark, then the re-reward, and they marched around once for 6 days, just with a horn blown. So God gave Joshua the revelation of the miracle that was to happen. All the details were given, and now it was time to move. I got the little formula there. Requirements that lead to miracle. Revelation is given. Revelation is believed. You take obedient action, and you get the miracle. I think I'll do a miracle this afternoon, about 1 o'clock. That ain't the way it happens. But when you're actively seeking the will of the Lord and you're moving, if one needs to happen, God will let you know. He'll say, 4 o'clock in the morning, he'll wake you up and say, 2 o'clock this afternoon. Get ready. That's right. Verse 15, Joshua 6:15. It came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city about the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the seven trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And that's what happened. And he marched around and it happened. Verse 20 says, so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the sound of the people. Can you imagine what these folks were doing sitting up on the wall, seeing all this stuff happen? They heard the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city and utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both men and women and young and old and oxen and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua didn't forget about Rahab, for it says, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she had, as she sware unto you. Joshua made sure that their promise, their word was good. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that they had. And they brought out all the kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, all that was therein. Only in the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasure of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive in her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelled with Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured or warned them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that raiseth up and buildeth the city of Jericho. He shall lay a foundation thereof, and his firstborn and his youngest son shall be set up the gates thereof. Joshua said, if any man rebuild the walls of this city or the gates, it's going to cost him the lives of his firstborn and his youngest son, the first and last. And verse 27 says, so the Lord was with Joshua. The Lord was with. How many times would we read the with? Think God is trying to tell you something? It's the only way you get anything done is if he's with you. It's the only way you're going to walk victoriously. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. All of it. The city of Jericho was the first of the cities of Israel that they took possession of the land. The city of Jericho is kind of, there's two passes. It's just before those. One goes up to Ai and Bethel, and the other one goes down to, I forget the name of the city. But that was the main one. They had to take out that city that was guarding the pass, and that's what they did. And it was burnt. It was set on fire as an offering to God, the first fruits of their inheritance. They burn it to the ground. Jericho was also set up in a heap as a memorial, as a reminder again unto Israel, God, that the living God of the earth, of heaven and earth, was Israel's God. And this day, he took down the wall. How many men would they probably lost trying to take that city? Quite a few, probably, huh? But they didn't lose anybody this way. They took it. And you know what's amazing? You know, I read Joshua, and you see how they just went and they took these cities. Ai, they thought they'd just send a couple thousand on up there. They got their tails kicked. You know why? Because somebody took something. They weren't to take anything. Somebody took something. It's called the cursed thing. Buried it in their tent. Until they got that taken care of, they didn't. But the thing about it is, you'll see when Joshua, he's leading these people, and they just went up. They went in and they said, okay, we'll go up and we'll take this section. Okay, Gad, we get it. Okay, that's Gad's. Then they go up and get the next section. They just started taking these kingdoms out. Joshua divided it up. He said, this is yours, and then they had to go get it, and they helped one another. You look at Joshua chapter 23. It says, it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies around about. Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. Joshua called for all the Israel and their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God, he is that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations, and I have cut off even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God had promised. Here he is, he's dying. He's about to die, and he's again, they haven't got all the land yet, but he's saying, okay, I divide it up, it's still yours, you go get it. But if you go into Judges, the book of Judges, oh my gosh, Judges chapter 1, Joshua's dead, he's gone. Verse 19, it says, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. If you go back to Joshua 17, they had chariots of iron. Joshua said, I don't care, you go get them. We're getting them anyway. We'll drive them out, doesn't matter. As soon as Joshua was gone, they were already backing off. They were starting to do half part of what God told them to do. And you don't win. You know, when you read this Word of God, you don't win going halfway there. You don't get healed going halfway. Well, I'm halfway healed. No, you're not. Right? Or I'm halfway delivered. No, you're not. You go all the way. And it's too bad, because in the book of Judges it becomes a roller coaster, because Israel didn't do what he said. They didn't wipe out everybody. There's one place there in Joshua I read just this morning about how it says they kill off everything that breathed, because God told them to. Don't leave anything around that's going to corrupt your people. And they took them. It's quite a miracle. Two of them in a row here. Bing, bada, boom. Cross the river, then take the city, the key city, and they go in. Then later on, in chapter 10, I think it is, five kings come up against them. Five kings get together, and they start causing trouble. And they're causing trouble big time. Joshua goes to God and said, hey, what do we do about this? He said, you go get them. Go after them. The battle is yours. I'll fight for you, and it's yours. And so there they went. They went after him. They chased him for 18 miles, I think it is, with the whole entourage packed on along behind. And it just started to get dark. Remember that? That's another one of Joshua's miracles. Joshua had some real things cooking, didn't he? And Joshua's, hey, if it gets dark, they're going to get away. He was out to complete this thing. God isn't halfway God, and Joshua wasn't going to be halfway about it either. He said, let's get them all. Let's get them all. But we need more daylight. Joshua stood up, and spoke to the Lord. He said, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is it not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about the whole day. So Joshua needed another miracle here to finish the job. They wiped him out. They got the five kings that were hid in a cave, and they went up and strung them up for a while, and then they took their bodies down. Well, first he put his foot on their neck, didn't he? He said, there's where your enemy is. You think about how everything is at the feet of Jesus Christ, right? He put his neck on the old adversary too. So where is the adversary's neck to you? It's under your foot. Unless he talks you out of it and said, I'm not really under your foot. That's what he does. It's all he's got left is tricks. But I tell you, he does a good job. There's this little magic, and people buy it instead of standing on what the truth of the Word says. God says that I am his, that I am more than a conqueror, that I have authority and power that God is able to do. And you believe that and start walking it, then you see the results. God had promised Joshua that he would be with him, that he would prosper, he would have success, if he would be strong and have a good courage and stay put on his word. Joshua claimed the promise of God. He believed and acted on God's word, and miracles were worked to confirm the promises. Those are three miracles again. Big ones. Today and every day we must claim what God has given us. We must believe and act on the revelation of God's Word. whether it is written in the Holy Scriptures or whether God just tells you at 4 in the morning or 2 or at the dinner table or whatever He tells you. Miracles and signs and wonders follow or accompany those that believe. Let us continue to believe on Him. Claim what is rightfully ours by believing and taking action on His Word. Be strong. Be of good courage. Why? Because you can. You should. That's why we fellowship. We're the rocks. We got to collect together to remind ourselves sometimes, right? Why? Because, you know, we got to have, he's a smart cookie. And he goes, brings up stuff to jerk your chain. But I tell you, you got brothers and sisters. You got the whole household of God. You got a big pile of rocks to remind you of who you are. That you don't need to be sick. You don't need to be condemned. You don't need to be poor. We're to be what God says. Read what God says about you. And then believe it. Then you'll be strong. And then you'll have great courage. Be loving is all get out in the family and with people's hearts. But boy, when it comes to the adversary, you're adamant and you don't give up. You got teeth in your mouth. He just growls. A dog with no teeth, but he growls a lot and people believe it and get scared. Get rid of the fear. You can't do miracles with fear. You can't heal with fear. Get rid of fear in your life. And the only way you're going to get it is stay put here. This will get rid of the fear. Because as you walk on there, you're going to see results. And every time you see results, you know something, you get stronger. I'm not afraid there anymore. I'm not afraid there anymore. You know, and if you get, then maybe you get tempted, maybe God will send down an angel and say, hey, fear not. Get up off your face and talk to me. That's right. Take action on His Word. Be strong and have a great courage as Joshua was. Follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. Preach and teach the gospel. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. Because God is a God of miracles. He's a God of might. And God will confirm His Word if we have enough gumption to get out and do it.